Well, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light here located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. This is the first Sunday in Advent, and we're going to be talking about hope and faith in the world. And again, we always like to remind you, you know, for folks who are just watch us on YouTube, you know, we invite you to join us in our Zoom fellowship. And you can find out how to get into that if you're on our list and get an e-newsletter or a weekly update. If you do not get any of those, you can always go to our website at unitycenteroflight.org. You can find that link down below. And there you can find the link to join us in our Zoom fellowship. You know, we would love to see you there. You get a chance to discuss the lesson. That's what happens in there. We have a lot of discussion about the lesson. We have music and other things that just create a sense of community, so you're not just, you know, watching it on YouTube by yourself. So we invite you to do that with us. And also, if you find this lesson, this the work that we do here to be inspiring, the lesson and the meditation, please consider donating and supporting Unity Center of Light. We really would appreciate your donations. And you can find the ways of giving by, again, clicking on that Show More button just below, and you'll see all the ways that you can support Unity Center of Light. And we are grateful for all of your donations. So right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us, far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, November the 27th. The key words are hope and faith. And the affirmation is, hope dawns within me and leads me to deepen in faith. As Advent season begins, I say no to pessimistic or hopeless notions that may have crept into my thinking, dimming my hope and weighing on my mind and heart. Today, I say yes to goodness and positivity. I feel a sense of renewed hope dawning within me, a promise that something wonderful is on its way. In these moments, I feel my faith reborn. I reaffirm my belief that no earthly condition, no worldly circumstance is greater than spirit. This is where I place my faith in the power, presence, love, and grace of God. As I call upon these divine attributes within myself, I perceive them more readily than others. I grow in faith that together we have the power to create the world of our highest imaginings. The scripture reading is taken from Romans 15:13, and it reads, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. And after that opening daily word was perfect for the introduction to the talk today. So like I said, today is the first Sunday of Advent. Okay, so I'm going to read to you the thought behind the first part of Advent, which is faith. Well, through the 4 weeks, we'll go through faith, peace, hope, and joy. And today we're going to talk about faith. So it says, the Advent wreath is an evergreen wreath with four candles and is symbolic of God's endless love. The first candle represents faith and is symbolized by a candle itself. We light a candle in the faith that it will transform the darkness. Taking this first step in preparation for the illuminating birth of the Christ within, our faith knows spiritual illumination is possible in any area of darkness in our lives. It is the belief that it is possible for faith to be the light of understanding, the light of abundant life, the light of hope, which assures that we are all in God's care and all is well. So this first candle shows, these are the four candles for Advent, but the one in the middle, of course, is the Christ candle. Today we light the candle for faith. Okay, so, all right, so again, igniting hope and faith in the world, right? That's the first Advent lesson. And again, the title of this lesson says a lot, and it demands a lot. Igniting faith and hope in the world. And it demands a lot from all of us and is by no means an easy task. And if you're wondering, you know, whose job is it to ignite hope and faith in the world, the answer, of course, is all of us. It is your job. It is my job. And no one is exempt. The question of always is how? How do I? How do you ignite faith and hope in the world, knowing that it is not an easy task? Well, we're going to talk about that today, and I'm going to be talking about some concepts that we know already, but taking them to another level. And as you know how I am, I'm always looking for the mechanics of how do I make this real in my life, okay? So to set the stage for this talk, we're going to look at Proverbs 3:5-6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and God will direct your path. Now, the Message Bible gives this interpretation of that same scripture. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. God is the divine aspect of your true self. And when listened to, will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all, okay? So this scripture, will be the basis for a lot of this lesson today. And like I said, we're going to look deeper into concepts that we know already, but then I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in with a different look of something we've looked at before. We're going to look at it in a totally different way, okay? So again, there's, you know, with every effort, with everything we're doing, what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring God out of the clouds. We're trying, you know, this idea of, you know, God will guide you. God will do this. God will do that. And a lot of times for us, that's something that's still up in the clouds. And how do I bring that into the reality of my everyday life? It sounds good when we read it. But again, when life hits us, how do I bring this dynamic, this understanding into my everyday life? So today is the beginning again of the Advent season. And just give you some background. You know, it's where we explore the spiritual attributes of faith, peace, love, and joy. Each year, we dig a little deeper into grasping a greater understanding of how these divine ideas can be used, again, to transform our everyday lives. That is always our goal. And each year, the Advent booklet that comes from Unity refers to the Christmas attributes of faith as, the Christmas attribute of faith as faith, hope, faith. Okay, that's why they always say it. Hope, faith. So this ties these two together as a spiritual progression from five sensory consciousness, hope, and I'm going to explain that, why I'm calling that five sensory consciousness, hope, to transcendental consciousness, faith. Okay? So Advent, again, just more, a little bit more history, is a period beginning on the fourth Sunday before Christmas, observed by many Christians as a season of prayer, fasting, and penitence in preparation for Christmas. So the dictionary says that Advent means the coming or arrival of something extremely important. So the Advent journey is described as being solemn because it's deeply earnest, and it's a serious journey, okay? Meaning we embark upon this journey with our heart, mind, and soul fully committed to what is required for our personal spiritual transformation. Now, the late Reverend Joy Weiler expressed, this is what she expressed. She says, on this day of Advent, faith transforms hope into the life that I live. Let me say that again. Reverend Joy Weiler says that on this day of Advent, faith transforms hope into the life I live. And that's a spiritually perceived goal of Advent, to be transformed by faith. And as we read in the opening scripture, in all your ways submit to God. In all your ways submit to God. Again, that's something up in the cloud that we're trying to figure out how to bring down into our everyday life. But in all your ways submit to God is just meaning submit, submit, submit. Just another way of saying let go and let God do what God does within you, okay? And again, every time I use the word God, I'm going to, you know, just think about the fact that that, to me, is something that's in the cloud, but it's not really, have we figured out how to bring it down into our everyday life? And this is how one source explains this idea of letting go. It says, letting go is a journey. It means releasing the past or that habit or that person or that limiting identity or that regret. But at its heart, letting go is learning how to live with the pure innocence of yourself again. That means yourself without all the stuff that's been heaped upon us, the baggage we carry around that we use to describe ourselves. It says, despite what happens in your life, despite what was, despite everything, okay, you want to be able to get back to that pure innocence of yourself. And as Dr. Carl Jung expressed, I am not what happened to me. I am who I choose to become, okay? So this notion of becoming a person of faith, as Reverend Joy Weiler expressed, faith being the life I live, it's a series of choices to let go of the various barriers that block my faith from becoming the reality of my way of thinking and being in the world, okay? Now, an article written by Spencer, how do you say his name?
Succulent.
Huh? Succulent. It's called A Philosophical Guide to Letting Go of Things That Do Not Serve You. And this is what he says. The more we cling to the things that slow us down, distract us, infuriate us, numb us, or hold us back, the less we can expand the breadth of our lives. And yet, because those things are familiar, they are all too easy for us to cling to. Okay? So he's saying those things that we need to let go of, but that's the way we are. That's the way I am, you know, and it's hard to let go of those things. So we cling to them, knowing what we are supposed to do on the spiritual journey, on the Advent journey, but it's just so comfortable. So a lot of those things in terms of the way we are, it's like comfort food, right? And he continues by explaining that not being able to let go of your old way of being means you have not learned how to let go of the past. A past that you cannot change, and not being able to let go of the past is allowing it to continue to eat away at you. He says we are holding on to something that keeps us off balance from our spiritual center. So the key to letting go is to be able to identify what it is we are holding on to. That's the key. What am I holding on to? Is it anger? Is it hate? Is it emotional pain? Is it vengeance? Or regret? Is it something that you did or failed to do? Or could it be that you're stuck in old ways of doing things that no longer work, okay? Or a way of life that no longer serves you? And as we do our inner work to let go of that thing that no longer serves us, okay, we may find that at the root, the cause of us not being able to let go, the root cause is fear, okay? However, even though we, you know, read in Matthew 6:34, where Jesus says, do not worry about your life, you know, do not worry about tomorrow, fear and worry just may be the catalyst, and here's the monkey wrench, fear and worry just might be the catalyst that helps us identify what it is we are holding on to that keeps us fearful, right? So now I'm giving some credit to fear and worry, all right? It may be the thing that we need. And yes, what I'm saying here is that fear and worry may have a divine purpose. There's the monkey wrench, because we always talk about getting rid of fear and worry, all right? But fear and worry may have a divine purpose. In the words of Russell Brand in his narrative, Embracing Fear and Anxiety on the Path to Awakening. And I say narrative because I transcribed this from what he was saying. And there's three slides to this. He said, fear is awareness. Fear is awareness. Fear is potentially wisdom. And in your fear, there could be truth. In your anxiety, there could be truth. Check in with yourself every morning and ask yourself, where is the fear I am feeling? Is it in my heart? Is it in my abdomen? Okay. And yes, this mindful practice can cause ambivalence between your quest to live by faith and the reality of fear you are experiencing. Okay. Meaning that experiencing fear and trying to live by faith, there's ambivalence, but they kind of run together. Okay. It's realizing that you are faithful and fearful at the same time. Okay. And he says, there's a cost to being awakened. There's a cost to being awakened. There's a cost to waking up. All right. There are mental, emotional costs to continuously observing your every thought, word, and action. But he says, don't let yourself go crazy. Okay. Well, over this process, instead, embrace the awareness that comes from fear, because fear is energy that can drive you and pull you closer to the truth of who you really are. Again, fear contains wisdom within it. So ask the God of your being to let you see it. Okay. And he goes on and says, don't narrativize your fear. You know, make a big narrative out of it, okay, within your mind, you know, the stories we tell ourselves. And he says, be aware of mad fear migrating around in your mind, portraying unnecessary stories of fear. And,
stories of terror.
Terror, thank you. Okay. Instead, try to find the wisdom within the fear by staying true to yourself, true to your quest to live by faith. Observe the wisdom within your fear and pray that you will receive the intuition to guide you out of it. And I thought that was powerful, because that's a whole nother way of looking at fear. Okay. It's not about getting rid of fear. It's about using fear as a mechanism, you know, to get to the truth of what is really, really going on with you. So when we learn how to respond to fear rather than react to fear, we transform a moment of fear into a moment of empowerment. And let me say it again. When we learn how to respond to fear rather than react to fear, we transform a moment of fear into a moment of empowerment. And that's the purpose of the Advent journey. It eventually leads to a divine awakening in the minds of those who take the journey consciously. And it's through the process of awakening that we discover what it is we're holding on to that's keeping us from living a life of faith, a life in which we come to understand the purpose of fear as being an instrument to awakening bit by bit. Okay. And this is another clue to the deeper meaning of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. So I'm walking, you know, through that, you know, and trying to hold on to faith, but at the same time, you know, I'm trying to fight off this idea of fear, okay? So, or the opening scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to God, and God will direct your path, okay? And it's important to understand that this God idea is always at work, directing your path, directing my path, always at work. And it's not something outside of you directing your path. Okay, that's what, here we go again. Because I mentioned the word God, I want to take it out of the clouds and get it into our being. Okay, it's not something outside of you that's directing your path. It is the God you. Okay, it is the God me, that aspect of our being that knows, really knows the path that will lead us to the truth. Okay, so think about that, the God me. Okay. God you. So again, that's the thing we're trying to tap into. That's bringing it out of clouds and into the nature of our being. And as you heard it said many times before, God is constantly begetting the only begotten. And that which God is constantly begetting is the awareness within our mind, heart, and spirit that there is more to the fear and worry we are experiencing than fear itself. Okay? Fear and worry can lead to divine guidance if you're willing to listen. Okay. So we just gave fear and worry a whole nother perspective, okay? And being on the Advent journey is about knowing, really knowing that despite what you fear, or that you struggle with, or you worry about, there's a greater presence within you. I called it the God you, okay? Just waiting for you to be ready to receive the guidance that you were praying for, okay? And we read about this in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, God isn't late with his promise, as some measure lateness. Rather, God is being held back because you are holding God back. But God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to be lost. God is giving everyone space and time to change. So as we are doing the work to let go of those things that are holding us back from living a faith-filled life, we can use the more familiar feeling of hope as the mental mechanism to help us get to faith. Now, let me say it again, okay? You know, as we're going through life and we're trying to, hold on to this being, living a faith-filled life, we can use a more familiar feeling of hope, because I think we're more familiar with hope than we are with faith. Okay? Faith memory is transcendental, but hope is five-sensory. It's within the nature of your being, okay? And so we can use that more familiar feeling of hope as a mental mechanism to get us to faith. Okay? Now, the psychological definition of hope is, hope is a positive cognitive state of mind based on a sense of successful goal-directed determination and planning to meet those goals. So you can, that's out of the clouds. You, every one of you listening to this, every one of us understands that, okay? In other words, hope is like a snapshot of a person's current goal-directed thinking, highlighting the motivated pursuit of goals and the expectation that those goals can be achieved, okay? And again, that's not an airy-fairy kind of a thing. It's right within our thinking. We know how that works, all right? And this is a much more familiar state of mind than faith because it is five-sensory. It can be measured and somewhat dependent upon, okay? Also, we all have done it before in different areas of our life, and we've done it successfully. We've hoped for something, and we brought it. We put that the whole thing together, created goals and how to get to it, and we made it happen. So we know that goal-directed hope actually works. And often the goals we set based on hope are based on some heart's desire that we feel called to do, okay? Now, the revealing word explains that desire springs from deep within our being, and it has enduring power, okay? And you know what I mean? Something that stays on your heart, stays on your mind, that this is something you want to achieve, something you want to do, something you want to get, acquire, whatever it is. It's not necessarily something grandiose, okay? So, that's my father's favorite word, but it doesn't mean something, this desire is something huge. It could be whatever it is in your life that you feel drawn to go after, to bring into your life. It's just something that you want. So we intellectually set goals to achieve it, hoping the outcome will be as we perceive it, okay? A scripture that kind of speaks it as Ephesians 1:18. It says, I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which God has called me. Okay? So it's in that hope comes from your own, that something that you want comes from your own experience. Again, this explains further, there is a metaphysical notion that God knows what you want because God hears the desires of your heart, as in the Father knows what you want even before you ask. Now, we all know this verse, but still the mental struggle in this process is to not get caught up in thinking of God or Father as anything other than spirit, okay? The spirit of our own being, okay? The God me, all right? The God in me or the God me, okay? The moving force of the universe, and the breath of life in our bodies. So in Proverbs 3:8, it is written, if you are able to maintain the thought, that God is the spirit of life within you, it will be like a refreshing drink and medicine for your body. Okay? So hope is the intellectual path that we naturally walk. And we have learned that if fear intermingles itself in our hopes and dreams, it is because there is wisdom in that fear, and it is our work to discover what it is trying to tell us. Okay, let me say it again, because you weren't listening, all right? That, you know, as we're walking our path, and we have learned that if fear intermingles itself into our hopes and dreams, we're saying now, not to just get rid of the fear, is that to pay attention, because there is wisdom in that fear, and it is our work to discover what is it trying to tell us. So we've looked at a definition for hope I think we can work with, because it's an intellectually comforting process, okay? We're familiar with it. So let's compare this approach to faith, which is defined as, says, faith is the power that connects us to the spiritual realm, which links us with God and makes God a more tangible reality to our sense of perceptions. Faith is complete confidence in an outcome, causing us to act as if it has already happened. Faith does not require proof. We are not hoping. We are knowing. Okay? So today is the first Sunday of Advent, and the lesson focuses on understanding how hope, faith works together to give us a more holistic God experience. So to further explain this, I took the reading from Hope, Faith from last year's Advent booklet, because I liked it much more than this year's, and I like the way it explained the connection between the two. Okay, so it says, hope is a beginning expression of faith. Hope is a beginning expression of faith. Through spiritual practice, hope evolves into its fuller expression, which is faith. So faith is the sure knowledge that good is ours right here, right now. Faith does not waver, okay? So faith is the next level in our spiritual evolution. But with what has occurred in the last 3 years and is still happening now, hope may still be our go-to to get through the day. Does that make sense? Okay. A recent Gallup poll showed that Americans are more stressed and fearful right now than at any other point in the last decade. Okay. And likewise, studies show that the top causes of stress in our lives are the common things we face daily, like our jobs, our health, our finances, our relationships, you know, worrying about, you know, people in our relationships. Just think about whatever it is that's causing stress and anxiety in your own life. Think about how you are trying to work through whatever it is, and at the same time, trying to exercise your faith about it. You get it? That's the idea of how do I bring this into my everyday life? You know, I'm going through this, and it may not be in the forefront of your mind, but every now and then it kicks up, okay? So that in itself can be stressful. That meaning going through your life, dealing with all that's happening, and at the same time, trying to exercise your faith, okay? That process alone can be stressful, which is why it is so much easier to be hopeful than it is to be faith-filled. Basically, in times of stress, we revert back to what we know, okay? Faith, however, takes us on a spiritual path. It believes in things unseen, you know, causes us to believe in things unseen, possibilities we can't even imagine, you know, while being comfortable, it's also being comfortable in the unknown, being comfortable in the fact that you just don't know all that's going to happen. And it means not needing to know how, when, or where our prayers are going to be answered. Faith can open possibilities for you that you didn't even know were possible. Inconceivable possibilities. Because conceivable when you are open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. Okay, so when we're exercising this process and we're open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth right in the midst of all that's going on. And it's not that you do not envision what you want. is more that you're open and receptive to this or something greater. You know that expression. So where stress and fear may be legitimate in hope, where stress and fear may be legitimate in hope, they have no place in faith. Most of the time when we say we have faith, what we are usually referring to is hope. We use these two concepts interchangeably in our normal everyday thinking and interacting with the circumstances and people in our lives. However, the two concepts, faith and hope, are not quite the same. Hope can lead to faith, but while faith signifies a deep knowing and connection to the power and presence we call God, our use of the word hope is often referring to positive thinking about some future occurrence, which is good. That's all good. Okay? But faith is miracle-oriented. Okay? This is not to say that hope does not evoke miracles, because it does. It's just that faith inspires us to step out of the material realm and into the spiritual realm. We no longer look out here and say what's possible or not possible. We move into that spiritual realm of consciousness where, as you know it, say it with me, with God, all things are possible. Okay? And in the spiritual realm is where the miracles come from. While hope is waiting for the miracle to come out of the spiritual and into the material, okay? So a faith-filled person is comfortable with the unknown. And to quote Martin Luther King, he says, only in the darkness can you see the stars. So we could equate this with taking time to close our eyes and enter into the stillness and pray for nothing more than a divine connection. And it is in this divine connection that you begin to see the stars, meaning the light of understanding you are hoping for. So I'm going to end with this reading from, again, last year's Advent, because I liked it much better than anything I read this year. And it says, when you face a challenging situation in your life, you might tell yourself you need more faith. This isn't true. You already have all the faith you need, because the totality of faith is already in your consciousness. Faith is one of the spiritual powers with which we are endowed. Faith waits patiently within you, ready to be set free. But it can only be set free by you. You must release some faith if it is to be used for you. In hell within you, faith cannot do any of the work it was designed to do. So let us open ourselves up to living the faithful life. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Good talk, hon. Okay, Unity family, let's begin now to quiet our minds and our bodies. So find that comfortable space and close your eyes if you wish to do so, or just take that downward gaze. This is your time to reflect on the words you hear and be able to take them into the deeper part of your meditation this morning. Breathe deeply in and out several times, and allow the following words to be your very own. I step out in faith. I turn within, quieting my thoughts and releasing my cares. Entering the sanctuary of my heart, I open to a fresh vision and deeper understanding. I am fully present, centered, and aware of my divine nature. I know this to be true. I am strong, positive, and powerful. Calling upon my faculty of faith, I cast a new vision for myself. I recognize and realize my strength, power, optimism, and confidence. Circumstances, events, or the thoughts of others do not limit me. I overcome negativity and persevere with patience and hope. Looking beyond appearances, I perceive the truth through the lens of faith. I am greater than the conditions I face and the experiences I encounter. Empowered by faith, I trust what I know. I am strong and unwavering. Challenges do not deter me. I speak, move, and act with confidence, for faith is my spiritual strength. I expect and prepare for only good to unfold. Faith declares that it is so and moves me to act to make it so. My faith is the anchor that holds me fast, assuring me that good will come to pass. I welcome and celebrate the blessings to come. Grateful for my spiritual power of faith, I am perceptive, expectant, and assured. We join each other in affirming that we are strong, positive, and powerful. With these wonderful affirmative words, let's go into that secret place in consciousness to pray, receive answers to our prayers, and to continue to breathe deeply. Thank you, precious Spirit, for your never-ending faithfulness to us all. We are grateful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, and so it is and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings and join your Unity family.
Thank you, Anne. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds and think about the resources that flow into our lives, the prosperity that flows into our lives, and our openness to allowing that to flow and to support our spiritual home. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to just do an affirmation to give thanks for all of the wonderful things that come into our lives, and we're going to say that together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And now holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today. So it's time once again to renew our financial and volunteer commitments to our spiritual community for the year 2023. Please check your e-newsletter to download the fillable form. If you need a hard copy, please email Patty. The Bowie Food Pantry has updated their processes to keep everyone safe. So for Christmas, families will be given food gift cards and toy gift cards to purchase gifts for their children. If you would like to participate in this program, please read your updates to find out how. The Wednesday Advent Discussion Group meets November the 30th to discuss faith and hope. You will find that these discussions connect directly to the Sunday Advent series given by Reverend Butch. On Sunday, December the 4th, we will have our in-person and Zoom service. Quiet the Mountain will be our guest musicians. Also, we will be holding a remembrance segment to that service. There will be a giveaway packet given to each person attending. No registration is needed to attend, but proof of vaccination or a negative PCR test is. Masks are required. December 11th, Lily Sandberg, whom you all know, will be our guest speaker. Her talk title is The Greatest of These is Love, and it's a continuation of our Advent series, which began today. The Women of Unity will celebrate the Divine Feminine on Saturday, December 17th, with a holiday high tea. please email me at pamosby@msn.com if you are attending. Please contribute to the tea by bringing something good to eat for sharing, like finger sandwiches or scones or other sweet treats. Hats and gloves are optional. Come and celebrate the season and each other with love. And we are having a Christmas candle lighting service on December the 25th. It will be a virtual service. We are looking for readers and candle lighters. Please contact April at unityeasternregion@gmail.com. That concludes our announcements for today.
Okay, so it is...
time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto.
All right.
Together.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. And right into our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. It's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We look forward to seeing you in the Zoom session, especially if you heard this message last week and you prepared yourself to be part of the Zoom fellowship. We said a lot of things in today's talk, and you might, find it helpful to get into a discussion about some of those things. So we look forward to seeing you there. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.